Hello, everyone. Welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe. And you guys now know that I have been vaccinated. I got the shot here at Deutsche Welle. And when I got it, the doctor, before giving it to me, told me that at this point, we don't know what's going to happen to you 5 to 10 years down the road.
Does anyone, Gabe? I mean, do you know what's going to happen to you?
No, this is literally what he said. We don't know the long-term side effects of this yet. Well, no, duh. How could we possibly know that? But he had to say it. And that thought is probably on the minds of a lot of people right now.
It's certainly on the minds of our listeners around the world. We, without going into all the details, we had a segment interviewing an expert here in Germany. Sarah Eitze is her name, from the University of Erfurt, on the subject of how to talk to people. And it's more than that, actually. How to remain friends with
people. Yeah, how to deal with them.
Who are not going to vaccinate. How should that conversation happen? We have had tons of emails coming in. Yeah. We had a follow-up segment where we talked just about those emails and how we interpreted them. We have some more of them now that are starting. They've started to go in a different direction, into this long-term side effects direction. And frankly, it's a fair and good question to ask.
Let's read a couple of them out right now.
One of them here comes from Gabe, a guy named Steve.
I've got Steve. He writes here, "Hi, Science Unscripted. My son keeps himself very well informed and has made a decision not to vaccinate on the basis that the COVID vaccines are a novel development which has had no long-term testing, yet has been rolled out to a vast number of people. He is concerned that long-term," there we go, there's our keyword, "long-term second-order effects are not known yet and could cause a big problem years down the line." That is almost literally what the Deutsche Welle company doctor just told me.
And what Suzanne Bradley, I'm not sure where she was writing from, but she wrote in and said, "Hey, I found your podcast interesting. I'm fully vaccinated, but I'm still curious about possible longer-term effects of the vaccine, which no one can really explain." She then goes on to link me to a podcast that I clicked into, listened to for a while, and went to the website of. And Suzanne, one thing I will say is the podcast that you mentioned, that doctor, I'm extremely skeptical of his claims. Lots of very bold statements and numbers with no links to that data. And so that doctor was implying, as you might expect, that there are many, many, you know, more negative things happening as a result of the COVID-19 vaccines than are being reported on, and that the long-term side effects, they're coming, they're going to be huge, is what I took from that. And
let me just say straight out, that's hogwash. Nobody can say that at this point. What's coming?
No, but we can try to get as close as possible to a theoretical situation where we can try to assess how realistic the likelihood ever is that a vaccine could have side effects that didn't happen in the first, you know, month or two or 3 months.
That's right.
But way down the road.
So Connor and I, we sat down and we were thinking, okay, what do we do now with these emails? Let us go to the best immunologist that we know, the most experienced, the person who, if these things could happen, would know. His name is Achim Hörauf, and we wanted to hear from him. Is it possible? What could be coming when it comes to long-term side effects, even though nobody can know? Look into your crystal ball for us and tell us what could be coming.
Science Unscripted.
Achim, let's throw the COVID-19 vaccines, plural, out the window, and let's pretend there's a new pandemic. The year is 2035, and we have a new batch of vaccines for this new pandemic. Is it theoretically possible that that new batch of vaccines could cause a side effect in the people who got an injection that didn't appear for, let's say, 5 to 10 years, that it popped up way down the line? Is that theoretically possible?
In medicine, we would say nothing can ever be completely excluded, but it is extremely highly unlikely, let me put it that way. Normally, all reactions of the immune system are due to some T-cell or B-cell induction, and these dynamics usually last for several weeks to months, and then they are switched off by mechanisms that the immune system has by itself. What may be feasible is that some autoreactive B cell, that there has been an example with influenza in the past, might induce some autoantibodies to a very low level. And then when you get other infections, you might again trigger this a little bit. So the practical answer is no.
I have type 1 diabetes. And the way I understand that disease or that chronic disease is that one day, for whatever reason, the cells in my pancreas started attacking themselves. So it's an autoimmune disease. And I'm just wondering that if you take a vaccine, something that alters your immune system.
Makes it stronger.
Or makes it even do things that it wouldn't have done before, that my disease, type 1 diabetes, could be a result of that kind of chemical manipulation of the immune system. Am I wrong there?
I think this can nowadays, with a great and highest likelihood, be avoided, because we know so many sequences in computer databases of, for example, autoantigens and other triggers that lead to the known autoimmune diseases. Even if we don't know exactly what happens that leads to them, we know some of the triggers. And the computer algorithms about proteins and RNA sequences would allow for such sequences to pop up during the design of, say, an mRNA vaccine. That would pop up, cause an alert signal, and would be avoided. So even for those very rare cases where this might happen, these sequences will be circumvented.
Okay, so if I've understood you correctly, there are lists out there that says basically, do not produce these antibodies in a human being's bodies with your medicine, otherwise they might develop an autoimmune disorder. These are forbidden. They're verboten.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. And of course, our knowledge on this has been increasing over the last 10, 20 years as we learned about autoimmune triggers, and you can really avoid them not using those sequences.
What do you think when you hear people say, I'm going to wait it out when it comes to the COVID-19 vaccine? They're going to wait and see what happens. What goes through your head when you hear that kind of language?
Yeah, I think you can't really wait and see. I mean, you of course can do that, but you will see that you're getting infected. And I think all people who are not becoming vaccinated over the next months will eventually, in 1 or 2 years, unless they really isolate themselves, will they be infected by natural infection with the then prevailing mutant virus. But wait and see, I think, is you have to really be okay with the fact that you'll acquire a natural infection with all the risks that it bears.
Going around and talking to people, what kinds of misinformation or opinions about the human immune system have you been hearing, probably this year, I mean, in a way that you've never heard so often before, that bothers you the most, or that you find most difficult to deal with? What's tough for you?
Yeah, I think the most prevailing misperception, and this was created by the science community itself, is that there is a herd immunity. Like if 80% of people are immune, then the virus will die out. And I think this is one of the arguments then that has led to the wait and see approach, because people say, okay, I might belong to the 20% and I might be protected because 80% of the population have been vaccinated and I do not want to take any risk with the vaccination. But this will not come true. These remaining 20% will very likely get also infected, because the virus is very contagious. And what can be told from the current mutants is that the transmissibility will increase, not the severity, but the transmissibility. So it becomes easier. And therefore, you will be infected and you can't hide out unless you really isolate yourself for the, so to speak, the rest of your life.
That was Achim Herauf, immunologist, normally out of Bonn University. At the moment, he's been working out of his home in Düsseldorf.
Yeah, and this idea, you're either going to get COVID-19 or you're going to get vaccinated, is one that I don't think can be said enough. And I think is one of the most powerful arguments, you know, to go all the way back to that discussion with Sarah Aitze, the most powerful argument that you could make, possibly, when somebody's saying, you know, I'm going to wait and see, because if you wait and see, you're going to wait and see what a COVID-19 infection feels like and all of those risks.
Which one would you rather have?
Yeah. No, and last thing I'll mention here, before we had turned the microphones on, we were talking to Achim Hirauf about some of the other examples where there were some, you know, some known and sometimes serious side effects to vaccinations. One of them, we've talked about it on
the
show.
That did not come up during the clinical trials.
Right, yeah. Right. And one of them involved the swine flu, the H1N1 pandemic from 2009, not all that long ago, when one of the vaccines, it was associated with roughly 1,300 Europeans developing narcolepsy, this sleepiness or muscle fatigue disease that causes you to suddenly, you know, feel the strong urge to fall asleep. Almost, you can't help it at that point. And that scared a lot of people. That really scared a lot of people. On the show, we talked about how there's still kind of a shadow from that whole experience hanging over this COVID-19 vaccination campaign.
But what we're talking about here is long-term side effects. And the narcolepsy and swine flu, the incidence of narcolepsy there, that was not long-term. That was within 2 months.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was, yeah, again, it fits into this pattern of hearing from people that they want to wait and see what the long-term side effects are with no clear time frame for what that means.
The point that I was trying to make, that we're a year into the COVID-19 vaccine drive. That kind of thing would have surfaced by now. So to talk about long-term side effects now and say that something bad is coming, it's hogwash.
Or at least you'd better have some really good data to convince us. Otherwise, if any of you have that or have seen data which suggests that Gabe and I are wrong and that there are real risks that are being ignored, please send it our way. We are su@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.